Evening, everybody. I am so glad to have you tonight on Faces of Success Radio. This is DJ Pearl J, and we have a special exclusive interview this evening with Mr. Joe Jones, the former LAPD. And we are so happy to have you on the show this evening. How are you doing? And welcome to Faces of Success Radio.
Wow. I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much. Glad to be here, and I look forward to hanging out with you guys.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right on into the interview with you, and there's so many things that, you know, that kind of crossed my mind with all of the things and, you know, the racism and stuff like that is, you know, just like that went viral. It's almost as bad as the coronavirus. But I wanted to start off with you with your career with the St. Louis Cardinals. How did that all come about?
Oh, well, I mean, I played baseball since I was a kid, pretty much. And if you want to know the truth, that was absolutely my one and only true dream. Of being a professional baseball player. That was my goal in life. And unfortunately, when you get hurt and you have injuries, you know, it that kind of capsizes that situation. So, you know, I did well. I got a chance to play in the College World Series. I was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals and about to get drafted by another team. And, you know, I guess that wasn't in my path. So it didn't work out for me.
So when it didn't work out for you, I understand that there were some injuries that were involved. Can you help our audience kind of understand what led up to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first major injury I had was as a junior in college. I played in the College World Series, and I had a collision in the College World Series in Montgomery, Alabama with the catcher, and I separated my shoulder. So when I separated my shoulder, that kind of put a big damper on a lot of things. A lot of teams were interested in me. So I had that situation. And then, you know, I had some issues, you know, probably with my back even before then. So it was just really, it came down to the fact of, you know, when you can't throw, you know, that's a very, very significant part of what baseball is all about. So, you know, I just wasn't able to recover. I wasn't able to get the appropriate treatment to get me back well enough to be able to play again. So that was, you know, that was after my junior year. Then after my senior year, I ended up tearing a ligament in my arm just prior to getting other opportunities. So It just kept snowballing. Every time you look up, I was getting hurt, and it just didn't pan out. You know, just one of those things. I just kind of chalked it up that I guess God didn't want that for me. You know what I mean?
And how did that affect you, you know, once you reach that level of success, you know, in baseball, how did that affect you mentally, you know, just like, you know, where did it take you from there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes it's a, I guess you can call a rude awakening when you have a, you know, a passion for something. And you put your heart and soul into it, and you do everything and we're willing to do anything possible to be able to achieve that goal. And then now all of a sudden, it's not about your willpower and what you want it to be versus what, you know, what the card you were dealt, you know what I mean? So it was just a very, very disappointing situation, you know. And at that point, you just got to try to figure out what's next. What do you do next? You know, and that's basically, you know, where it was for me at that point.
Doing research, I'm looking at, you know, where it took you from baseball. Then you kind of went into your general contracting. What sparked that from baseball to, you know, general contracting?
Well, I had been, my father worked for a very large contractor called Henry C. Beck Contractors that was very significant in building a lot of instrumental locations in Los Angeles. I'll say one of them that I'm sure people may recognize from LA is the Bonaventure Hotel, that project, and they did a bunch of others, like the Warner Center in the Valley and some other stuff. So I was working as a laborer for that general, for my father's company, for the company that my father was the general foreman for a few years, you know, to pay my college education. I would work, you know, summers and that kind of thing. And, you know, I had an opportunity to build some relationships with some of the people in the company. And then ultimately, when it came down to me having to make a choice in regards to what I was going to do after I got hurt, they opened the door for me and gave me an opportunity to be an office engineer for 18,000 square foot parking structure, whereby I handled and managed and ran and managed the construction project for 18,000 foot parking structure. So I did that for several months, and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I started to look for other options because I wasn't sure that I would be able to sustain a long career in that realm, in that business, because I wasn't, you know, 100% trained in that realm, and I just wanted to make sure that I had something else to fall back on.
Going from, you know, swinging a baseball bat to a hammer, and then all of a sudden, here you are with this whole new job opportunity with the LA Police Department. How did that generate from baseball to construction to an LA police officer?
While I was doing the construction thing, I was just afforded some time to look into other things and assess, you know, what it is that I wanted to do. And I realized that during the construction, that with this company, if they decided, you know, they were going to go to another project, that project may be in Texas and Alabama, no telling where it would be. And the one thing I did know was that I wanted to be local in LA, you know, so I, decided to take the test for the police department. I didn't have a whole lot of people to draw from in regards to experience, who had experience with it, but I just decided that I would take the test. And I was actually taking the test to become a school police officer because I had a very, very good friend of mine who was a school police officer when I was in high school. And I kind of liked the job that he had. And, you know, I thought back to the days of, you know, 1 Adam 12 and Starsky and Hutch and SWAT and all those other TV shows. And, you know, I just envisioned it being simply just doing police work. And I thought that that would be something that I could do.
Well, after sustaining the injuries from the Cardinals and, you know, your back injuries and other things that were going on with you physically, was that a little intimidating for you once you did join, you know, the police force, whether or not, you know, you would still have the, you know, physical ability to handle, you know, your job and be able to perform, you know, your responsibilities as an officer?
No, I was, and not to boast or whatever, but I was a very good athlete. I was strong and pretty strong, and I was fast, and, you know, I had endurance, and, you know, the injuries that I sustained, you know, on the job, on, you know, during construction, you know, those things were behind me. those things were behind me, and I was, it was now time for new injuries, I guess, because, ultimately I got a major injury, when I was in the police academy, which, it really kind of, it hurt my situation because I damaged my left great toe, and I could not run on my toe for years. I mean, not really literally run. I mean, I had to have some things done in order for me to be able to modify, be able to work in some sense of capacity on the job based upon the fact that I had this toe that was just completely throbbing. It was killing me, basically.
Well, moving away from some of your injuries, let's talk about some of your greatest, accomplishments during your time of serving as an L.A. police officer.
To put it, blunt, I mean, I actually, police work itself, I actually enjoyed it. I for all intents and purposes, based on my ratings and based on the many accommodations that I received and the positive favor that I received, I actually did pretty well on the job. As I set out on the job, I did really well. I was considered a good officer, and I enjoy doing police work. So, yeah, I earned numerous accommodations. I never really had an opportunity to promote. I had got to a point where I was about to promote and go to undercover narcotics, and a lot of things started to happen on the job that stopped that from happening. So I had to move on away from that.
Well, when you say a lot of things start happening on the job, can we talk about that?
I can, surmise it. I was supposed to become a part of a undercover unit. And then let me mind you, I will surmise things because I have a book, I don't know if you would know. But I have a book, and all of this information is in my book. So, like I said, I'll just kind of touch over it, brush over it some, and I'll urge people to go to my website and purchase the book or whatever means that you can. There's so many different options to purchase it, from my website to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the other places that have it. But the injuries and that type of thing, that's what kind of put me in a strange space when it came down to doing the police work.
Well, was there any point while you were serving as a police officer that you felt like you were being, racially profiled or treated unfairly?
I definitely had some circumstances where, you feel like, things happen, and you get the feel that had you not been a black officer, you would have been treated differently. You would have been treated with more consideration as opposed to assumption, and things would have probably, it would have happened differently if it wasn't for the color of my skin.
Can you give like our listeners like some type of an example of something that you actually went through that that caused you to feel that way?
There was a one situation where I was arrested. I was actually detained by the sheriff's department I was in Hollywood one evening, and I went to a location to meet with a friend of mine. And once I met with this person, I was approached by a sheriff who observed my car parked, and you know, I was illegally parked, and he observed my car illegally parked, but I was right there with my car. And as he approached the car, I saw the sheriff, so I was like, okay, let me get in my car and get out of his way so that, you know, that there's no issue. But he decided that he was going to force me to stay there and take a parking ticket when I was, in fact, right there with my car. So once he realized that I had a bag, and I told him that I took my identification out and told him I was a retired police officer. This officer pulled a gun on me, pointed in my face, and told me that he was going to kill me. He said, that means if you're an officer, that means you got a gun in that bag. So I dropped my bag immediately and pled with this officer to, sir, please, I'm an officer. This is my ID. I'm showing you my police ID. Why are you doing this? You know what I mean? And ultimately, you know, that situation led to me being detained, handcuffed, put in the car. And once that situation happened, there was other police officers that were called to the scene. It was a big, giant cluster of stuff going on, and a lot of lies told, and a lot of things happened that really, really gave me a very, very sour taste in my mouth, being handcuffed and put in the back of a police car, and I was actually a policeman myself. That was like a very, very demeaning and debilitating thing for me.
Well, it sounds like it, and, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that you had an experience like that, and especially if you gave, you know, so many years and hours and days to, you know, the police force as an officer. And once all of that had happened, I mean, did you have to go to court? Was it dropped? What was the outcome of it all?
Well, the outcome was, like I said, that ended up being a very, very tiring and arduous situation, because at the very least, you know, once it was found out that I had not done anything wrong, you know, there were witnesses that were on the scene that verified that everything that I said was correct and true, and that everything that the sheriffs said at that point was false. There was even LAPD officers that were on the scene that corroborated what I said, and those stories ultimately end up changing later on. But at the end of the day, you know, I was hoping that they would just simply, at the very least, apologize to me for what they did to me and how they treated me. And they swept the situation under the rug. I never heard anything from them. I never heard back. They didn't check back with me. And in the meantime, four or five months go by, they didn't respond. So I ultimately filed a lawsuit against them because I was illegally detained. He threatened to kill me. They roughed me up when they put me in a car. They talked bad to me. And, you know, I just felt completely humiliated, and I was never able to really shake that situation off. And it just ended up being a bigger thing with court, with testimonies changing, with lies. And it was terrible in the sense that you find out the things that you would expect to go a certain way don't end up going the way you expect them.
With all of the things that, you know, that is going around the world, you know, state to state, you know, right now with police brutality, racism, you know, all the things that, you know, black males and females, you know, that are actually experiencing, you know, being targeted, you know, by the police department because of the color of their skin. What message would you say to them? What is your message to them today? For, you know, from your observance of what you're watching every day on the news, what you're seeing, you know, all of these black young men that are being shot and killed and, you know, just being, you know, targeted just because of the color of their skin.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that for me to have, you know, finally been able to put the words together and put this book together to be able to let people see what took place in my life so that they could have an optic of what it was like to be a police officer and be a black officer and experience terrible things. So you know that the average citizen who comes in contact with an officer who doesn't have positive intentions, we know what they would do to a normal citizen if they would do that to an officer. So my thing at this point is to try and increase awareness on both sides. I have strong feelings and care and consideration for people who have experienced a negative situation with the police. And, you know, to this day, what my objective is to try and give people a different perspective as they deal with the police and realize that, you know what, unfortunately, you can't win, you know, so to get hot and hostile and aggressive with the police, it only leads to worse circumstances, you know. So I'm beckoning people to be humble and be poised, as frustrating and as hurtful as it is, because I'd rather see you get your feelings hurt than to get killed. Because an officer who has control or he has bad intentions can easily use your anger against you. And, you know, that is my whole thing. And I believe that that's why I'm able to say that I survived a few circumstances myself, was because I was trained to be poised. And, you know, they trained me, you know, to have control under adversity, and I was able to have some control under adversity. But you can best believe that the pain and the hurt and the disrespect that I felt was no less.
Wow. You know, with all of that being said, you know, you have to be a very, very humble person to want to even start giving special events and raising funding for the police and the fire department after being treated that way. What triggered you to want to raise money for the police department after you sued them, after they stomped all over you, after they treated you so bad? What would make you want to, you know, help aid them in any type of way?
Yeah, well, most of it is just in terms of the timing talking about. I mean, it's not like I was, the police, you know, the circumstances that I had happened before I started doing events. I mean, things were happening simultaneously over the years, and I did events, you know, as a way to keep my mind off of some of the negative experiences that I encountered. You know, at the time, early on when I was doing the events, things weren't as bad. You know, they were just starting to happen. Things were starting to happen. As I was doing the events with police and fire, things were starting to happen, and they hadn't been as bad as to say, okay, well, you experienced a very, very, you know, tumultuous career, and, you know, they dog you out, and then now you're doing fundraisers. Now, that's not how it happened. You know, it wasn't like that per se. I did events to keep my mind off of some of the issues that I was having, and to be, I had an entrepreneurial spirit, so I did events to make money, and also to raise money.
Well, that's a blessing, and I'm really, truly happy. I have not had the opportunity, the golden opportunity to purchase your book, but I do want to have it. I do want to get a copy of your book, and I would love to have you sign it and have the opportunity to meet with you. You worked with Bill Cosby, Jay-Z, Lil' Kim, Nas. Tell me, how was that for you, and what popped all of that off?
Well, I mean, everybody knows, you know, like, most police officers are given opportunities to do protection details for numerous people. Depending upon the relationships you have out there, there are a lot of officers who have had businesses created where they provide undercover security or whatever types of securities for venues, for locations, for various celebrities and such. So I did a lot of that work to, just to stay busy and keep myself rolling. I mean, it was a lot of times I, you know, either was off work or between work, or a lot of it happened after I even left the job. So I was always one to take advantage of any type of work opportunity that came aboard that made sense.
I have a inbox from one of our listeners, and their question is, how was it working with Bill Cosby?
Well, with Bill Cosby, I mean, I had an isolated situation whereby he was either a part of a given an award for Ray Charles in Beverly Hills, and I was assigned to him for that day, but it was not an ongoing thing for me to have the opportunity to observe his way or how he did business or the things that he did. I trailed him for a day for an event, and he seemed to be a decent man. I didn't have any negative thoughts about him. I had probably the same respect we all had for him being Mr. Huxtable. I looked at him as a big-time celebrity, and I treated him as such. But this is long before any of this other stuff came up.
And you know what? And I did, too. I'm still very, very fond of Mr. Cosby. I grew up loving him to death. I mean, he was like that special type of dad, you know. So, I mean, so we either had that or the Brady Bunch, you know. So I really enjoyed watching him and growing up with him, as, you know, and still to this very day, the respect that I had for him then, I have the respect for him now, and nothing is ever going to be able to change that. And let's talk about where they can find your book.
Okay. Well, the book, you can go to my website, which is Truth, the words Truth, T-R-U-T-H, 4, and then Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, .life, L-I-F-E, Truth for Change .life. The website. You can go to that website, and you can get either the ebook or the paperback book at that site. The site is also about my movement, and like I said, my movement is to start dialogue and to get us to a point and place of understanding each other. I'm not an anti-police person. I'm not a all black, pro-black, everything black people do person. I believe in the people who do what's right, anybody who does what's right. So I am trying to bridge positive people together and keep us, you know, with the right frame of mind and continue the dialogue that's going to stop the police officers who are taking advantage of their position and taking advantage and hurting and beating and you know, exercising racial injustice circumstances on people because they have the power to do so. There's a lot of wounded people walking around the street that have experienced some officer that took advantage of them, and they won't forget it. And that's a lot of why we have all the problems that we do, because people have hatred in their hearts because of the things that they've been through, and they don't know how to get past it. You know, so I hope to provide a place where people can go and they can read stuff, look at, listen to music, look at videos, and have dialogue that that discusses things that, you know, can help them get through some of the circumstances that they've gone through. Because I know how painful things were for me for a long time. It took me to write this book 20-something years later for me to get to a place where I was psychologically, you know, capable of even doing it. You know, so I understand what people are going through, and I just hope to be able to help some of those
people. It's a beautiful thing. That really truly is, and I definitely would like to have you, you know, be able to come out and be a speaker, because we do a lot of Break the Silence events on behalf of battered women, children, and men, and all types of things that we bring to the community to inspire and to bring, you know, community awareness, immunity. And I, you know, play a big part in Black Wall Street, Reno, and Sparks, and, you know, bringing Black businesses and stuff together. And, you know, some things that we have coming up in the near future, I'd like to be able to reach out to you and possibly have you play a part in some of these very powerful, meaningful folk events. And I want to say to you today, you know, that I really, truly want to thank you, Mr. Jones, for being a guest on Faces of Success Radio. We are really thrilled to have you here in the studio as a guest today. Is there anything that you would like to say to the audience that you want them to know about Joe Jones today? Is there anything that, you know, that we didn't cover today that you would like the audience and our listeners to know about you?
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, honestly, you know, everything that I'm trying to convey by writing a book is really not totally all about me per se, because what I've gone through, I've already gone through, but the opportunity to express myself and to get it off my shoulders through writing a book gave me the opportunity to reflect and truly understand, you know, what I was feeling when I was going through all these tragic situations years ago. And, you know, I offer these circumstances today not just to badger. It's not about badgering the police. It's about providing information so that we can seek opportunities for reform. I provide opportunities for people to reflect and look at ways to make the police departments better, so that a lot of the things that I experienced and a lot of the things that are happening today won't continue to happen. You know, so, you know, I didn't resurface all these years to write about something and you know, have a self-serving mentality about it. I mean, I really felt like I can help. And if people look at what I'm saying and they go to my website and they look at, they read my book, they'll get the reality that, you know, this, it's just simply time for change. And my truth, which my concept is truth for change, is to give hope to the opportunity to change. I'm telling my story so hopefully one day, you know, people will begin to look at things differently.
Amen to that. Is there anyone you would like to thank or give a shout out to today?
Well, I'm gonna shout out my publicist Cassandra for connecting the circumstances with you and putting us in a position to be able to share with the people. And I'd also like to thank say hey to my family and all the people that I know love me and, you know, just rock with me unconditionally. I would also like to give love and kudos to the many officers that are out there just trying to do normal police work that have to suffer the embarrassment and the drama that's caused by just what a few bad cops are doing out there. You know what I mean? Because I will tell you straight up, I've been a cop. All cops aren't bad cops. I think a lot of, just everybody's put in a tricky situation. You know what I mean? People that are really decent, that just don't know how to navigate the climate that they're put in. It's a tough climate. It's almost like being in a climate of growing up in the hood where you got your gang members and that type of thing. And, you know, they're telling you, you better not tell what happened. If you do, you already know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So, you know, we always frown upon each other and we don't know the rationale that people do what they do, but you know, there's always an explanation for things. And the reality is that if we talk about it, we would at least begin to better understand each other. And that's what I hope for.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to thank you, Mr. Joe Jones, for being a guest on my show. My name is DJ Pearl J, and you're on Faces of Success Radio. And once again, can you please give our audience your website where we can purchase your book?
Okay. The website is Truth for Change, the number 4.life. Truth. Common spelling for the number change.life. So you can go there, and, you know, like I said, get the book, or you can get some merch, and you can also get a lot of information and material based on what's going on in the world today.
All right. Well, you heard it first right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com. We have Mr. Joe Jones in the house. And we, again, want to thank you, Mr. Jones, for being a guest on our show. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much. And God bless.
Heaven ain't hard to find. Let me start off with my conversation, hoping my information alleviates the hesitation. I can see it clearly now. Catch a smile and tweet your friends. I'm asking, baby boo, are you down? Or who I know you heard about my reputation. Across the nation, mister, I get around. My temptation got me dripping wet perspiration. I'm activated by the moves you making, baby. While you making strips, nigga, get the love making. See, it's all in your mind. So every time I sip a glass of wine, I fantasize till that ass smile. I'm never getting but wrong, never touching. I know you grow, but pay attention. Let me hypnotize you with my tongue kissing. This is a message to bomb bodies and all time. Turn around one more time. Heaven ain't hard to find. I wink and you respond back, looking mean, what's all that? lot the closer you get, baby, the quicker I'm speaking. I gotta find out the combo. Let's kick it this weekend. I'm sipping Hennessy and Coke. So addicted to weed smoke. I'm feeling for your body even more. Oh, God, help me identify my true story. Your hidden motives from the past, and who would've thought? Come holler at me, baby. Love me for my thug nature. Far from a player, hater, label me a money maker. Straight heartbreaker, maybe we can be friends. I can scoop you in my beds. We'll ride, I'll let you cross it for your friends. Once we begin, until the end, it gets better with time.
This is DJ Pearl J, and this is the end of my hour. You ain't got to go home. You know what they say, but you got to leave here. This is the end of my show, so thank you for tuning in. Tune in with us next week. You never know what we got going on. Faces of Success Radio.com.